Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us your Son. It is because you have done that, that we can know you and love you and worship you. We come together this morning for that purpose. Father, as we come together, help us to see him more clearly, that we might serve him more faithfully. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, when my kids were babies, and for years before and years after that, there was a specific shampoo marketed for use with babies referred to as the No More Tears shampoo. A lot of you are nodding. You're familiar with it. The ads, if you recall, featured happy, smiling, laughing babies having their hair washed. No fussing, no unhappiness, no tears. Well, we use that shampoo on our kids. It was a nice slogan, but sometimes there were tears. Granted, I'm not positive that I can blame the shampoo. It may have just been the process. But yeah, sometimes there were tears. Well, I mention that because I do not want today's sermon title to be misunderstood or categorized as false advertising. The title, No More Tears, has a specific reference in connection with the resurrection of Jesus. I'm not suggesting that following the resurrection, the disciples never faced anything hard or sad, a no more tears kind of life. The notion that Christians never have any problems or difficulties is ludicrous. The No More Tears reference concerns the genuine and deep transformation which took place in the disciples when encountering the risen Jesus. The dismay and depression following the crucifixion was real. As we heard last week, they thought it was all over and were fearful for their own lives. Given what we heard then and what we heard this morning, last week's sermon title, No More Fears, could be interchangeable with today's No More Tears. Then we heard about Mary Magdalene's weeping, and today we hear about their hiding in fear. To some extent, their fears had been dispelled, but not completely. To some extent, their tears had been transformed into joy, but not entirely. It was and would continue to be a process, but a process that was picking up speed and momentum. Our lesson starts out, when therefore it was evening, on that day, which of course raises the question, what day was that day? It was the first day of the week, the same first day of the week we heard about last week. The day of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb, empty except for the grave cloths left behind, empty except for the angels beheld by Mary Magdalene, empty regarding the most crucial aspect, that Jesus' body was no longer there. Mary Magdalene was the one who had seen the living Lord that day and told the others. But the rest were still scratching their heads as to what was going on and what it all meant. Most of the day had passed without them figuring it out. The streets of Jerusalem were still bustling with pilgrims celebrating the ongoing Feast of Unleavened Bread in connection with Passover. As we read together, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." The room was probably growing darker by the minute. Maybe the only light coming from a small oil lamp sitting on a table. Long shadows being cast by the lamp. A solemn quietness, except for the shuffling sounds of occasional movement that lacked any particular purpose. Still bewildered men seeking understanding. When the living Lord Jesus came into their midst, he offers the customary greeting, Shalom, peace be with you. To provide clarity that it was truly him, Jesus showed them the places of the wounds from the cross. It was clarity which led the disciples to rejoice, because now there was no mistaking it. They too saw the Lord. Again, Jesus says to them, Shalom, peace be with you. The first time, it was a greeting. The second time, it was a word of grace. Like the disciples that evening, we need to hear both expressions from Jesus, the word of greeting and the word of grace, to hear loud and clear that it is true Jesus has risen from the dead, that he is the living Lord, and that he is present with his followers. To hear also the word of grace regarding the implications of the peace he gives. It is the peace only he can give as the long-expected Messiah who has come to save us. It's the peace of knowing our sins are forgiven because he has paid the price for that forgiveness on the cross. It is the peace of being reconciled with our Heavenly Father and knowing we live as his redeemed children. As one person has put it, his shalom on Easter evening is the complement of it is finished on the cross. For the peace of reconciliation and life from God is now imparted. That is the peace we receive from Jesus. From this occasion, when the risen Jesus revealed himself to those disciples, we see more progress in the fears and tears of the disciples being transformed. Just that previous Thursday night, as Jesus was preparing the disciples for what was coming, he said, Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. The promise of peace and joy was now being realized by the disciples in the presence of the risen Lord. A peace and joy in knowing Jesus was alive, but it went deeper than relief and refreshment after a bad few days. It was the beginning of realization that Jesus was the source of peace with God and the joy of his salvation. It is this same foundational realization which transforms our fears and tears. Not that we never experience anything scary or sad as Christians, but that we walk through those things in the context of knowing Jesus as the one who has overcome the absolute worst, even death itself. Therefore, as redeemed children of God, we know that we are in the hands of our Redeemer, even in the midst of scary and sad things. Our peace and joy stand not as a vacuous oblivion to difficult matters. It comes as a gift from the one we know to be with us, seeing us through it all. Look at the case of Job. We heard about him in our first lesson this morning. If you aren't familiar with the story, life had thrown some horrific things at Job. He lost his business, his servants, his children, even his own health. His wife cajoled him, curse God and die. Job did not go to that dark place, but he did wrestle with why all of this happened. Questioning God, looking for answers. It was after God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind, revealing himself to Job more fully, that Job finally found peace, saying, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Do you hear what he's saying? Having seen God more clearly, Job learned to trust God more fully. The Lord was Job's peace. As we see and know Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, we find Him to be our peace. A peace which reaches into the depths of our souls because we know we belong to Him, the Prince of Peace. Trusting in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus, we grow in our awareness that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We find it in the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. That is what Jesus shows us in showing us Himself. Well, just as Mary Magdalene had learned that morning, now the disciples come to learn that the revelation Jesus gives them leads to mission. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." What the disciples had seen, they were to make known to others. Is not just their own doing, however, for they would engage in that mission empowered by the Holy Spirit. The assurance of forgiveness through faith in Jesus is at the heart of the message they were to carry out to the world. Jesus had come as one sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world. As others have pointed out, over 40 times in John's Gospel, there is reference to Jesus being sent from God. And now He is sending His disciples. In seeing Jesus, the risen Lord, we come to realize what He has accomplished for us is good news for us to share with others. To be a follower of Jesus is to be sent by Jesus into the world to tell others what you have seen. We'll hear more about that as we move on in the season. But wait a minute. What about the next Sunday? We heard that in our lesson, didn't we? Verse 26. After 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Thomas, one of the original 12 disciples, had not been with the others that previous Sunday evening, and he was having a hard time swallowing what they had been telling him. A week later, rather than berating Thomas, Jesus reveals Himself to Thomas as He had to the others. Why? So that Thomas, too, could see and believe. Jesus wanted to bring Thomas up to speed. And Thomas sees to the point of exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." As has been suggested, Thomas not only catches up with the others, he shoots past them in his understanding and profession of faith in the risen Lord Jesus. Thomas expresses worship toward Jesus that would never be directed toward anyone other than God Himself. You see what happened? Based on Jesus' revelation of Himself, Thomas had made the connection. That's the whole point of Jesus making Himself known to them and to us. John describes it here, the purpose statement, if you will, for writing all of this down. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. We caught that first glimpse of Him last Sunday. And here we are, a week later, He is still risen from the dead. Seeing Him for who He is, believing in Him for who He is, trusting in Him for who He is and what He has done for us, we receive life in His name, along with our fears, our tears are transformed by our living Lord Jesus. Not living in denial about the hard stuff of life, but realizing those things are not the final word. Instead, we live with the peace and joy that comes from knowing Him, knowing God to be the God who saves us. That is why we join the psalmist in proclaiming with gusto, as we did this morning, "Praise the Lord." Heavenly Father, thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. Thank You that You have shown us that He is alive because He has shown us Himself. Father, as we continue to grow in our understanding of the implications of all that means, let us grow in our joy. Let us grow in our gratitude. Let us grow in our faithfulness to You, the God who has saved us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.